Exodus chapter 35. I'm excited today. One of the reasons I'm excited is I'm always excited as we gather together in God's house for worship. It's just good to worship with God's people. Another reason I'm excited is, you know, I do these messages well in advance and series well in advance. And I do them sometimes absolutely cluelessly. We've come to a point today that is so very appropriate for where we are as a church. And I realized this about 3 weeks ago. And I don't know why I'm surprised. You know, does God show up in your life and you think, wow. Well, that's kind of the way this has worked out. And I'm thinking, wow. And then I'm thinking, why am I surprised? He's God. He's way ahead of us. Well, today we continue our study in the book of Exodus, and we come to the point where Moses has been back on Mount Sinai for the second time, and he's went up there and he's received the law, the Ten Commandments, and God writes on the stone the second time and gives him all those instructions again. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and he tells the people what God has told him to tell them. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Willing hearts. Exodus chapter 35 verse 4 says, "And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us, please?
Father, we do thank you for your omniscience. The fact that you are looking so far ahead of us, Father, we might follow you and serve you all day of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you a story. A story about Moses. In this story, once upon a time, Moses woke up one day and he said, "Hey, you guys know what would be awesome?" And the children of Israel said, "What?" And Moses said, "It would be awesome if we started a building program." And the children of Israel said, "Cool." And Moses said, "I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go to the bank and borrow money at 5% interest so that we may pay it out over time for the glory of God." And the children of Israel said, "Awesome." So they went to the bank and borrowed money, paid it out on a 30-year amortized, on a 30-year note. Can't get that out right. And they built the tabernacle, and everyone lived happily ever after. That's not how it goes, is it? It's a cool story, but it's not how it goes. I told you God was way ahead of us, and He brought us to this point today. I find it just very awesome that God brought us to this point today. Because as you know, we've been doing building plans and preparing to renovate the second building just next door to this, and have several needs there, and we've come to the point where we've been praying about it for 3 months, and tonight is business meeting, and guess what we do tonight? We decide whether to move forward or not. And so today, I find it awesome that God has brought us to a point to look at a biblical model for building. And that's what He's done. A biblical model for building. And there are three things that has to happen for it to be a work of God. Number one, we must be led of God. It must be through the leadership of God. If you'll notice in the text, it said, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Moses did not just wake up one morning and he was impulsive and decided to build a tabernacle. No, he was under the direction of Almighty God Himself. Very important project. This tabernacle is going to be the center of their camp. All the tribes are going to be camped around this tabernacle. Everything about this tabernacle is going to scream, "We are God's people." Everything about this tabernacle is going to reflect how they feel about God. It will be the place of sacrifice. It will be the place of meeting. It will be the place where they say, "This is the tabernacle of our God." But they got it first hand from God Himself. Okay? That's what I want you to understand. It wasn't something that they just made up. God said, "Build me a tabernacle." And so Moses is bringing it back to the people, and Moses is saying, "Hey, this is what God has said." And so they're going to be acting under the direction of God Himself. I want you to notice, once again, we're on that edge of a building ministry. Wonderful. But how do we know? How do we know that this is the direction that God wants us to move? Okay? I think we have to be assured, don't you? I want to move in the direction God wants us to move. Well, we look at where God has blessed. I love our nursery. I love our nursery workers. They are outstanding people in that nursery. Okay? Awesome. God has blessed Victory with a number of young families. I love seeing young families. But you know what young families bring? They bring babies. Isn't it cool? Aren't you proud of every baby that we have? Absolutely. Right now, we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 18 children on the roll in the nursery. Take six adults to corral and hold babies each Sunday. I love it. I love it. It's a blessing of God. And so we've got to back up and we've got to say thank you, Jesus. But as we back up and say thank you, Jesus, we've also got to take a look and realize that nursery wasn't made for 20 babies. And you know what? I've got good news. There are more babies on the way. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great? Blessing. Blessing. And I thank the Lord for every young parent, every baby that's in this church. And I just want to, you know, I just want to say praise the Lord for what He's doing. Praise the Lord for what He's doing. Not only nursery blessings, but staff blessings. The church staff has also grown in the last few years. And in the church staff, It's really neat the way that God has worked it, in that we haven't just went out and said, "Hey, let's add to the church staff." No. God has opened a ministry door. For example, college ministry, outreach ministry, seniors ministry, youth ministry. He's opened that door. But when He opened the door, guess what He did? And I love this part. He just provided us the minister to fill the spot. Isn't that, I love how, because see, I'm not smart enough to go out and see these ministries before they get here. So God knows that. And so he's staying ahead of me. Praise the Lord. I pray He keeps on staying ahead of me. But the church staff has grown, and every member of the church staff is a vital part of the ministries of Victory Baptist Church. I am very blessed to work with our church staff. Love every one of them. But the offices no longer hold our church staff. As a matter of fact, one of our staff members do not have an office. But that's okay. He's still blessed, aren't you, Ken? Amen. God has worked in our Sunday morning Bible study. Now, I understand we're, and you understand, we're in summer right now, okay? Everybody, you know, we're swapping out. This group's on vacation this week. That group will be on vacation the next week. It's all good, okay? Go on vacation. Just don't stay gone, right? But our Sunday school capacity is about 260 to 280. Guess where we've been running? 260 to 280. And we have, for example, our seniors, senior adult class. Bless their heart, and I mean that truly. They cram in that Sunday school classroom every week. And they've got all the people in that classroom they can handle. As a matter of fact, they've had visitors come and try it for a week, and they say, I'm not going back to that class. There's no place to sit. People have actually sat in the hall in that class before. I think that's really cool. Amen? Blessing of God. Blessing of God. And it's not just our senior adult class. It's the classes throughout the church. Okay? And as I said, we've leveled off at 260 to 280 for Sunday school because that's all we can handle. We have no room to start new classes. We are pressed for room in several other classes. And I thank God that we're pressed. It's a good thing. This isn't a preacher complaining thing. This is a good thing. So back to the original question, how do we know what direction God wants us to go? Well, when you're a simple country guy like I am, you have to be simple. And God's always been very simple with me. It's been one of those, look at where I'm working and get on board. Okay? God is working. The ministries of this church and Sunday school and Bible study, and God is doing great things through our nursery, through our children's classes. God is moving. So I say, okay, Lord, it's pretty obvious. We're out of space. We have great needs. Let's go get it. Let's go do it. And you know, honestly, here's the thing. A lot of that building we're looking to renovate does not reflect how we truly feel about God. You know, it's a little run down in several places. It needs to be taken care of. So the first thing I want you to realize today is how blessed we are. And to realize, okay, because we're blessed, we have to be responsible for the blessings that God gives. If you'll notice, He said, take from among you an offering. So they're thinking, I knew he was going to get to the money. It's okay. All right? Stay with me. Smile and stay with me. This is where everybody starts frowning. Smile at me, okay? With blessing comes responsibility. God said, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And guess what? You're going to have to pay for the project. And it was not going to be cheap. Read the list of building materials. He said, bring to me an offering of gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, badger skins, acacia wood. This is the good stuff. This isn't that you've got an old lumber pile out back, we're going to throw up a shack kind of thing. This is the good stuff that God is telling them to bring for an offering. First class, nothing's too good for the God of Israel. But if you notice, he said, you bring the offering. You see the personal responsibility there? God says, build me a tabernacle and you bring the offering. That sounds reasonable, does it not? Amen? But here's the thing. What's it going to cost? Well, let me share with you. Somewhere in the neighborhood, building materials, 1.25 tons of gold. Can you go? That's a lot of gold. 1.25 tons of gold. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million for the gold alone. 4.25 tons of silver, somewhere in the neighborhood worth $5 million. 2.5 tons of bronze or copper, somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000. If you just took the precious metals alone, we're somewhere around $55 million to build this tabernacle. Can you imagine? How in the world could they justify spending in gold, silver, and bronze alone? How could they justify spending $55 million on a tent? It was a tent. It was. It was a tent. And they're going to spend that kind of money. But you know what? It was God's tent. That's what makes the difference. It was God's tent. And I do want us today to consider the cost. My friends, when you walk out of here today, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm not. I've not heard anything but positive. Brother Doug, when are we going to get started? Brother Doug, when are we going to get... I'm not trying to talk the membership into anything. Okay? God takes care of that. But I do want you to have a good understanding as to why. As to the why that we do what we're doing. And beloved, as we pursue this project, if the church votes to pursue this project farther, I want you to understand it's not cheap. Okay? I don't want it to be cheap. I don't want to give God something cheap. All right? Kind of like David. David, once upon a time, and this is a true story, this isn't a once upon a time story. David, he was going to sacrifice to his God. And so in preparing for sacrifice to God, there was this fellow named Araunah who had a threshing floor that David needed for the sacrifice. So he goes to Araunah and says, "Look, I want to buy your threshing floor. I need to sacrifice to our God." You know what Araunah said? Araunah said, "David, you're going to sacrifice to God? I give you the threshing floor. It all belongs to you. I don't want nothing for it. You take it and you sacrifice to your God." You know what David said? David said, "No. No. I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. You know what David said? "I'm not going to give to the Lord my God that which cost me nothing." See, that's what we often want to do. This is a good idea and here we go. And then when we have to take personal responsibility, you know, we back up and say, "Well, they have more money than I do. Let them give." Oh, no. No. Or "They have kids. I don't have any kids anymore. Let them pay for the project." Oh, no. No. "They go to Bible study. I don't go to Bible study. Let them..." No. Whatever. I want you to understand, we have to take ownership as individuals of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And everyone is responsible, from the youngest to the oldest. Everyone is responsible from poverty level to abundant riches level. It does not matter where you are. If the church votes to do this, we assume responsibility for the cost. And we have to have the attitude, "I will not give to my God that which costs me nothing, because He's worthy of all." He's worthy of all. We've got to take ownership. Then, we must be willing. God told Moses to tell the people, "Whoever is of a willing heart, let them bring an offering." That word "willing" is a very interesting word. You know what heart is. That's the inside man. That word "willing" literally means a desire to be generous. Whoever has a desire to be generous from the inside, let him bring an offering. You see, I want you to understand where we are as a church. this can't be a guilt thing in giving. If it's a guilt thing, you're not going to be blessed. And the goal, my goal is, as your pastor, is for you to know the joy of giving. Okay? I don't want to guilt you into anything. As a matter of fact, if your attitude is, oh, that preacher, he's just worried about money, put your checkbook up. Okay? Close your billfold. Don't give because it'll do you no good. Okay? I want you to know the joy of giving. And that joy starts in the heart. And having a heart, a true heart for God. You want to know if a man loves the Lord? Check out his checkbook. I've always heard that. And I believe that's true. The exciting thing for me, I want you to know, during 25 years of ministry, it's not buildings. I've done buildings before. Bill, you know what buildings are? Concrete, carpet, and two befores, and a few other building materials. And 2 years after you get into them, you kind of lose the new of it. That's not the exciting part. It's really not. You know, I forget. We worship in here each Sunday. And we have a beautiful sanctuary. God has just blessed Victory with a wonderful sanctuary. But sometimes I forget that. And people come in and they say, oh, Brother Doug, what a beautiful sanctuary. And I think, oh, yeah, you're right. It is beautiful. God has blessed it. But you see, it has a tendency to wear off. So that doesn't mean I'm not appreciative. And I thank God for the facilities that God has placed here. But the joy is not the sanctuary, the building itself. The joy is when God's people gather and worship Him in spirit and in truth. This building, the joy will not just be building a building. The exciting part, and this is the exciting part for me as pastor, the exciting part for me as a pastor is bringing in love, bringing God's people along to the point where they have willing hearts to give, a desire to give and to give generously. You see, I don't want to talk you into anything. I don't want to guilt you into anything. I want you to know the joy. I want you to know the joy of not just building a building, but watch as new ministries flourish and lost souls are won to the Lord. I want you to know the joy of seeing kids taught in the Sunday school, and not just kids, but adults. And from those opportunities, souls being saved and people maturing in the Lord. See, that's the exciting part for me as a pastor. Oh, don't get me wrong. I like buildings, you know. It'd be cool. But I want you to understand, it's not about a building. Okay? And so, God told the children of Israel, bring an offering. Build me a tabernacle. Bring an offering to the Lord. Here's where we start. To the Lord. Okay? Bring an offering to the Lord. You're not giving it to a church. You're not giving it to a preacher. You're not giving it to an individual. You are bringing an offering. I'm asking you to bring an offering to the Lord. Okay? Because you see, when you bring it to the Lord, then you've got to evaluate how much is God worth and how much honor should I show to my God. Right? And so, I'm challenging you to be more than a mindless dollar or two, a mindless written check for whatever amount. I want you to stop and I want to ask you to honor your God. Let your offering honor God. Let it be to the Lord. You see, sometimes we get in a rut in our giving. Malachi 1:13 and 14, I want to share with you. These people had gotten in a rut in their giving. And it says, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? You ever get in an offering rut? Those people were in an offering rut. And God says, listen to me, cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. You know what God said? I know what you have. I know what's in your flock. Don't bring me the sick goat when you have a lamb without blemish. Treat me as God. Why should you treat God as God? Because He is a great King. Oh, that's worthy of an amen. He is a great King. He is a great God. There is none like Him and none above Him. You see, this is where we set our heart on track. This is where we get our desire as it should be, when we realize we're giving to the Creator of the universe. And it's not that He's demanded and I've got to give. He's saying, come join me. Come join me. I'm going to let you participate in this ministry. All in matter of how you look at it. But understand this, your offering will reflect your feelings toward God. Okay? That's why we're not receiving an offering today. Do you know that? Is that Brother Doug, he's fixed the pass plate. No, not today. No, not today. Next Sunday we'll start receiving, but not today. Give you a week to pray about it, bring it before God, and let God lead you. You see, I want to share with you my prayer. Okay? Number one, my prayer is that the entire church will start tithing. I can hear it. Tithing. Doug, that's Old Testament. No, it's Bible stuff all the way through. Okay? I mean, you think about it. 10%. Oh, my goodness. If you make $10, one belongs to God. You see, that's pretty easy to give a dollar to God. But when you make $1,000, how much does that mean God gets? 100. And that 100's rested in your hand. You say, that's a lot of money. No, it's not when you compare it to 1,000. And when you make 10,000, what does that leave for God? 1,000. I mean, you don't have to be a mathematician. It's not hard to figure out. My prayer is that this entire church body will start tithing. I do not know who gives what. I will not go into the financial records and look. I don't want to know. Okay? I leave that between you and the Lord. But you see, I do know this. If you're not tithing, you're depriving yourself of blessing. As a matter of fact, in the book of Malachi, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now this. God says, test me. Try me and see. Test me. And says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Does it seem like your bank account has a hole in it? Does it seem like you can never pay your bills? This may not make sense to you, but I'm going to tell you, it worked for me. When I started tithing back years ago, things got a lot better. Now, I don't have a big bank account, but I want to tell you this. I have need of nothing. God has taken care of the need. He has blessed me in so much more than just money, you know. So that's my prayer. And understand, I'm praying for this. I'm not asking you for it. There's a difference. Okay? Don't leave here and say, that preacher asked us. No, I didn't. I've asked God. There's a difference. All right? I'm praying that all our membership will tithe. I'm praying, number two, that our membership brings an offering. I want you to understand, tithing is not an offering. Tithing is a standard of giving, and offerings going above and beyond. All right? And so, I'm praying. Everybody's attention. Everybody smile at me. All right? Do not jump ship on me here. Do not close your mind. Okay? If you won't close your mind, will you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Because this may be a shot to some of you. Okay? I am praying, asking God for 100 families to commit to the Willing Hearts offering in the amount of $4,000. I know there are people in this church who can write a $4,000 check and never bat an eye. Good. Good for you. Okay? If you can do that, I would encourage you that you need to be challenged in your giving. Okay? But see, this is a figure that God has laid on my heart. All right? And so, if $4,000 does not challenge you, then maybe you can double it. Maybe you can triple it. I'm praying for the equivalent of 100 families to give $4,000. And it can be done a number of different ways. It can be done a one-time offering. Write a check, you know. Good. Good for you. Maybe you can't quite write that check. Do it like this. $1,000 a month for 4 months. Brother Doug, that's a lot of money. We serve a great God. $1,000 a month for 4 months. If you cannot absolutely, and understand this, I'm challenging you. I want you to be pushed into giving. If you can't do $4,000 for $1,000 a month for 4 months, how about doing $500 a month for 8 months? You see, there's a way that you can commit. If we receive 400 families, or I'm sorry, 100 families at $4,000, do you realize that is $400,000 and way over halfway in this building project? I want to share with you. You know, I've been reminding you for 3 months, pray, 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 pray. I've been praying. And God laid this on my heart. Okay? He laid it on my heart. And it was funny because the mark was 500,000. God laid 500,000 on my heart that we need to reach 500,000. And I'm asking, and I'm going to ask the church to establish this goal that by April or spring of next year, that this is the goal we're reaching for. But anyway, God just said, this is where you need to get. I'll take care of the rest of it. I just felt God's in it, right? So anyway, after further prayer, God laid on my heart $4,000, 100 families. And I said, cool. Great, Lord. Okay. I'll just be honest. This is going to push me. And I'm not going to ask you to do something I'm not going to do. Okay? It's going to challenge me and give me. All right? But I'm going to participate. All right? But anyway, as I was praying, and God laid this 100 families at $4,000 a family. That's $400,000. But Lord, you said, you laid $500,000 on my heart. You know, you're $100,000 short, Lord. And discovered a couple of weeks ago as I looked into the Capital Improvements Fund, which is our building fund. Guess how much is in there? $112,000. Which takes us over the 500,000 mark. And when I realized that, I thought, I'm sorry, Lord, you were right all along. I just didn't get it. You see, I realize I can't impose upon people, you need to give this amount. I realize that. I've shared with you what God has put on my heart, okay? And I want to challenge you. And before you say, I can't do it, I want to challenge you. You spend time in praying about it, because God just may show you next week you can. But here's what I want every family in the church. I want you to allow yourself to be challenged in giving. Okay? And I'm praying that everyone will allow themselves to be challenged. Maybe you can't give $4,000. Maybe you can't give $500 a month. Maybe, you know, okay, I understand this, but I want to share with you one story of the Bible. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, we read a story of a widow. True story, okay? Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came. One poor widow. One poor widow. What difference could she make? One poor widow. Came and threw in two mites. You know what two mites equals? The better part of nothing. Okay? I mean, it's just pennies. She threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples. Come here, Peter, James, John. Come here, guys, I want to show you something. And said to them, assuredly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. This poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. That's challenged giving from a generous heart. You may not be able to give hundreds or thousands, but you can give sacrificially. That's my challenge to you today. And I realize, you say, Brother Doug, we haven't voted yet. Yes, I realize. But I figure God brought us to this message today. He knew what He was doing, right? And so, this week, not today, but before next Sunday, we're going to have the avenue open for you to give to the Willing Hearts offering. If the church votes to move forward in the building ministry, that's where it will go. Toward. If the church says, no, we don't want to do that right now, we better hold off, your offering will go toward paying off the current building note, which is down to $680,000. And but you see, either way, God has brought us to this point. Okay? God has brought us to this point. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to ask you to allow yourself to be challenged in giving. I want to ask you to go, as you leave here this morning, take this home and make it a matter of prayer. All right? All week. So that next week, as you're given opportunity, you can do what the Lord lays on your heart. And that's all we want to do. Amen? That's what we all want to do. Most importantly, I want to see you in heaven. Are you a child of God? You see, it's not about giving. It's not about anything but Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Do you know that? There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? Have you come to that point in your life where you have committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, why not? He's proven His love by giving His life for you on Calvary. Now, why would you turn that away? Don't turn away such a beautiful, wonderful sacrifice. Maybe you're here today and you know this message has struck a chord and you need to get back on track with your giving. Wonderful. Maybe you need to spend time at the altar saying, Lord, help me to commit to be faithful in my giving. Maybe you're here today and you've got a world of other problems that have nothing to do with giving. I'll just tell you this, Jesus is the answer to whatever problem you're facing. The altar is open. The invitation is for you to respond to Jesus as He leads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You for bringing us here. As a church, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we just look around and You've blessed everywhere. Thank You. We know it's by Your power. It's not a preacher. It's not a minister. It's not an individual. It is because of You that victory is growing. And so we give You all the glory and the praise. And Lord, we do pray that You'll give us willing hearts. Hearts that want to be generous. That desire to be generous. And then, Lord, I pray that You'll enable us to be generous. For we know we have nothing unless You place it in our care. Lord, we love You. We pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.